Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey, listen up, all small business owners. You're going to want to hear this one right now at Vistaprint.com. You can get 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. I've been telling you about this for years, and it is such a wonderful offer. $9.99 for 500 business cards. This is the best deal out there, and it's so easy to make great-looking cards. Pick from tons of industry-specific designs. You can add your info, and you're done. We all use cards from Vistaprint on the Mike O'Mara Show. I want you to do the same thing. You can upload your own artwork or pictures. And remember, if you want to go all out, upgrade to their signature stock, add a fancy finish, or even raise print. Vistaprint also has everything from marketing materials like custom flyers and banners to custom apparel. All of it is 100% guaranteed. If you're not happy, Vistaprint will make it right. Now remember this offer, 500 business cards on sale for just $9.99. There's never been a better time to professionally promote your business. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code TMOS to get this incredible offer at Vistaprint.com.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Are you dragging a little bit today?
Oh, man.
Were you up late? Did you watch Letterman last night?
Oh, yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. And you know what?
Class act.
On the heels of our Alan Coulter interview yesterday, it was very cool to see Alan Coulter on TV after actually speaking to him. Another great phoner today. It's very exciting. Paul Schaefer. Paul, are you there?
Hello.
Paul.
Hello.
How you been?
Pleasure to be here. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I know you've got to be out of your mind busy. Gosh, and just the stress of doing the show yesterday.
It was a great day for David and a great day for the whole staff. We just had such a good time with everybody. I'm just still kind of getting over the excitement and the fact that everybody was so generous with their time and everybody showed up was the theater was electric. It was a wow moment for everybody.
I saw that your drummer Anton posted a lot of pictures on social media from his drum kit.
I didn't get a chance to see that.
You could really almost feel the electricity in the theater. Can you talk about the emotion that was hanging heavy? I mean, the history that was just hanging in the room yesterday.
I think it was emotion, but it's also it's probably anticipation for last night. You know, he's just David is such a magnetic performance artist, and I as I said, it was something that was it'll be a long time before I'm going to forget something like that. It's just David's a great friend and a great human being, a great humanitarian, and it's to be part of that television history. It's a gas.
And he called you with no uncertain terms, and a musical genius. How did that feel?
I don't know. I don't know how much sincerity there is. He said that for years. I think he's a good guy, and a genius. I'm a cat, and I play music. That's my thing. I do.
Paul, there was a great moment in yesterday's show, one of many that you have a behind the scenes look at the late night, and you sit there and you're in the hallway and you mentioned to the cameras that you keep on saying, I know you hate this, Dave, but one more thing. You mentioned that. You hear that all the time.
Still do it, and people still do it, and that's what it is. People do it. They say, Dave, I know you hate this. People want to, there's been people lined up in the highways that want to talk to you, and they hate that. He hates to do that, but he has to, and I understand, and he understands. So what I was trying to communicate, he's somebody has to deal with this, and it's not what he likes, but we have to do it. He has to do it, and we all do it, but he really hates it, and he does it anyway because he's such a pro. And that's what I like about him. That's why he gives us all those, wow moments that we enjoy on the late show. That we enjoyed, I should say. It's past tense, man. Now, wow, it's not going to be around for a while. David's just he gets the job done. He's done the job for 30 years to do such a great time. It's all
that. On a personal note, I'm very sad that, of course, the show is leaving the air. But I'm also, you okay?
Yeah, fine.
I'm really sad to see the dissolution of the CBS Orchestra. You guys have brought us so much great music, and you grew from that small combo at NBC to such a powerhouse band. What are your favorite musical moments through the years?
Dolly Love was always a gas.
Yeah, the best.
She'd come on and, at Christmas time. Uh-huh. All the great old artists are there. I love playing with Springsteen. It was Sting, all the Luminaries, Billy Joel, all of them. We had them all in there. They come in. That's great. You can't single out one person.
Really? One question, though, is working with
James
Brown.
I'm a little bit late here, to be honest with you.
Working with James Brown, yeah. That had to be a thrill.
Yeah, it was a good thrill. I get to put the cape on, the hardest working man in show business. Yeah, what a gas, huh? That was good stuff. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got 30 seconds. Guys.
Quick last question. This morning on my way into work, I heard a commentary saying that it was actually fortuitous for Dave not to get to Tonight Show and to create what was The Late Show.
Right.
Because he has his own franchise now, his own enterprise.
Right.
When you got that call to join Dave to go to The Late Show, what did it feel like?
It felt fantastic. Fantastic to be able to be part of something this big and this huge and such a great moment. And I it was not lost on me, the significance of just how great it was going to be. I knew at the moment that we were going to ride a tsunami, man, of something special. I knew it was going to be really, really good stuff.
So I'm watching.
Thanks for the question, Oscar.
I'm watching the clock here, Paul, and I know you got to go, but I just got to.
Thanks,
Rob. I got to ask.
Say hi to Pony and also Robert Ford for me.
And Mac as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, Mac. No, let's see. Pass on him.
Please. Okay, but you've got a wide open schedule right now. What are your future plans?
Oscar Santana and I are going to be flying over to Hawaii for the Hawaiian Internationals.
There we are.
Then me and Rob are going to wing on over to London and jam with the Stones. And then, of course, I'll be moving back to Toronto where I'll be going to rabbinical school. Okay? All right. Suck a...
Oh, no!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Pardon, Bellas. You came here to see us? Is it because you are, what do the American kids say, jelly?
We are so not jelly.
We should really thank you for making this tour a reality. You know, with your bumbling ineptitude. We should send them something. Fruit basket?
Yum, yum.
Or would you prefer mini muffins?
Okay, we didn't come here to start something with you guys. We just wanted to check you out before the world where we're going to kick your ass.
What?
That's right.
You? You are the kicker of ass?
Yeah.
You are so tiny. Like an elf. Or is it a fairy sprite? Wie heißt das Wort, das ich meine?
Troll.
That's it. You are like a troll.
We are not scared about the world, because when the Bellas hit the stage, we are going to blow minds.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Piper Studios in the heart of our nation's capital, Cracker Mat Rush, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, baby, you do too, because this is the best goddamn podcast in the world.
The day with the friendly voice.
Nice.
Wow. I'm pumped up today. I'm all show busy pumped up. Today's show brought to you by Blinds.com. Memorial Day. A great time to get a great look at a great price. It's great, great, great. Did
great,
I say great?
Great?
It's great.
Great, 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 great,
great. Blinds.com is what we're talking about. Blinds.com. From how-to videos to helpful experts on the phone, standing by and ready to chat. A wonderful company, and I will have a story during the show about a not-so-wonderful company that has nothing to do with Blinds today, but I can tell you I will give all my good energy to Blinds.com. They will help you every step of the way get a fresh new look in just in time for summer with prices, options, and friendly expert advice that you'll love. Blinds.com has a USA based call center with real people standing by to help you. It's never too early to plaid for Subba. Patio sunshades make your patio livable during the hot summer months and protect your guests from harsh sun rays. Now through Wednesday, the 27th, when you buy three blinds, you'll get the fourth free, any style, any quantity, but only through Wednesday. Go to blinds.com/memorial to start shopping and saving. And always remember, free color samples, free shipping, free expert decorator advice, plus prices that crush store prices. And their SureFit guarantee means that installation is always perfect. I guarantee you that most of you will be able to successfully install your blinds in less time than it takes to read a Rob Spiewak piece of copy.
That's great.
If you measure wrong, you can't miss, because Blinds.com really cares. Blinds.com, as seen in Mike O'Mara's Florida home.
Yes.
Mike, we had a wonderful listener write into our Facebook page that said they saved over $100 using Blinds.com.
Yay! Love it. Fantastic.
Well, it is moving day here. We are heading out today after the show, and we'll talk about that. I'll talk about the fact that as we speak, I believe my oldest daughter is on a train in Manhattan
heading in
for job interviews, taking the subway, doing all that stuff. So a nervous day, got the little guy, and then I'll tell you a debacle story with U-Haul down here in Fort Myers that Carla was supposed to pick her trailer up that we're hauling up north at 8:30 yesterday, and she arrived 15 minutes ago with the
8:30 in the morning or 8:30 in the evening?
8:30 in the morning yesterday. If we
so
were leaving yesterday,
it.
We would have been as Mr. Santana, so Otley calls bone.
Bone.
So they missed it by over 24 hours.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's not what we can talk about today. We have to do... Oscar, you will have to indulge us for one last day where we have to gush about our boy, David Letterman. And
Was last night, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that was.
As I tweeted, gentlemen, the floor is yours, but I tweeted yesterday at Oscar Radio, if you want to follow me.
Oh, I love that. I live it there.
I tweeted class act. I was so blown away by that last show.
Sure was.
I was so blown away that it moved me to say, you know... I felt ignorant, to be honest with you. I felt like
you missed out maybe over
I
the
missed
years.
Out because I just one I was too young to watch so many great moments in late show history.
Do you even remember the NBC show, or was he always a CBS guy for you?
He was always a CBS guy for me.
Okay.
Always.
All right.
Because I drifted away, Rob did not. I drifted away, but I remember the NBC days and then the early CBS days when I was addicted. And we'll get later, and maybe later in the show we can talk about that complete douchebag at the Washington Post. And I believe it might be clickbait, but he was talking about at the end of the day, Letterman's a loser. It's like... I remember being written about in that fine publication myself, and that is one of the problems with Washington, D.C.
They love that tone, don't they?
That newspaper.
Yep.
That newspaper, which has a tremendous legacy of greatness, and you've got guys taking shots at a guy that, you know, he took his lumps. He screwed up throughout his career. I mean, David Letterman took some shots. That was not the time to do it, and I will tell you, I no more perceived ratings with Leno on any level with Letterman whatsoever. Maybe at the beginning, it was kind of I hope he beats him. But the people that love Letterman love Letterman.
Yeah.
The people that love Leno love Cheetos and, sticking stars to their forehead.
Do you know when ratings stop mattering? I think is when Leno went, he was the first to go high def. And his show got very, very colorful, and he came out, and he shook hands. And
he
became...
got the Hugh Grant interview, which was the game changer.
Huge,
he got
nice
the
pull.
Great get. Yeah, not a funny get, but a great get.
A great get, but when he started...
That's what turned the tables on Letterman.
For ratings, but as far as the quality of the show, when it became more about Leno shaking hands and Stuttering John being his announcer, that's when it's...
That was
weird. Just common.
So... The thing about my point with anybody that wants to give a little snark to Letterman, it was just always he was a tremendously funny human being.
Yeah.
That's it. Take all the pomp and the circumstance. Was he a curmudgeon? I think so. Was he maybe a bit of a dick? Yeah, maybe.
Of course.
But he was purely funny. He did, with the flashbacks that I've watched in the last 2 weeks, I completely forgot the moments, the nightly moments, and he'll never appreciate this himself, of just how funny a human being he is.
Yep.
He said things no one would think about, and last night gave us tons more clips, beautiful celebrity cameos, just enough of the schmooze and the
emotion,
the maudlin, the mawkish, as they like to call it, you know, the, with his son in the audience,
that was so cool.
Uncomfortable, and then introducing his son's best friend.
Oh, so great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You can't, just on every level.
And
I got done watching that. I said I couldn't find any faults.
And
there
were
no faults in that show.
I thought Mrs. Letterman didn't, you know, overdo the makeup.
When he introduced the son's friend, it was one of those moments that he knew that that was important to his son.
So yeah, it was the only time his son smiled.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
And he also, as the camera panned back to him, he said, "This is what it takes." Like he could feel like this is supposed to be my day. But this anything to make my son happy. That's what I
said,
felt, right?
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
And it is what it's all about.
And it was
when,
one of
when
his
this
for
is
him.
All done. Yeah. When anybody in show business knows that, it is what it's all about. There are you know, it's so weird. I have been so nostalgic this week, just thinking about everything and thinking about that's just an incredible win for Letterman to go out that way. There are two guys that have done it recently. You know, you're going to have Jon Stewart that's going to be able to do the same thing, but he's a younger guy and he's got,
right,
I think, more TV in front of him. But you had Letterman and Carson go out the same way on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of go off and do their own thing. It's just
it's
an incredible accomplishment in the business that we're in on any level to be able to survive it, much less move on. And then the writing, which was obvious to me, Rob, that they started writing well in advance of this. They had this all mapped out, and I thought it was just
tight.
I'm gushing about it.
Because you know what? They did something that is really tough to do from a producing standpoint, is they gave us great lead up for 3 weeks where you felt like, oh my God, where are they going to go from here? And still they managed to pull a finale.
Yeah.
You have to keep something in the bag. And also one of the reasons I think the show was constructed so amazingly, that wasn't set up like anything he'd ever done before. It wasn't set up like an anniversary show. It certainly wasn't set up like an actual episode. It was some weird amalgam of it, and they made it work.
And they went late.
Oh,
and I
loved
CBS,
it.
I will never give CBS credit, but I will tonight. The fact that they let them go 17 minutes late and just run, and the time flew by. You know, Foo Fighters, the band, his tribute to everybody,
including Les Moonves,
everybody in there, wonderful credit roll.
Oh, with
the
black
too.
And white pictures,
really
beautiful,
that was cool.
Credit roll.
And you know, the credits roll so fast anymore, and oftentimes on his show, if the music goes late, they won't even roll credits. But they did. I think it was probably 2.5 minutes. Everybody's picture, everybody's name.
I'll tell you what they, you know, and this is what a show like that'll do. It even, you know, I'm still like watching a sports contest on TV. I'm all ramped up. And so I even watched James Corden for the first time.
I bet you that cured yourself pretty quick.
No, it was, you know,
it
he's so
horrible.
Manic. He's so manic compared to Letterman, but he writes really well. And, you know, it was just, it's the delivery. You go from having that man that early on in David Letterman's career, everybody was saying he was so comfortable on camera. One of the reasons he was better than Leno, he was always completely comfortable
at ease
with the camera. And, you know, I just can't put my, it's a huge deal for me. It ended up being more of a deal for me than I ever thought it would be. And it is because that is something that is now going away. And I don't see that coming back. It must have been the way maybe my folks felt when you know, the Bob Hopes and the Jack Bennies, and when they started
Ed
going
Sullivan
by the
left
by,
the air, yeah.
Ed Sullivan. I don't know, but it's just a. And then you look back, and he's still the material he was doing, I think, is still hip. I have to keep relatively trendy as far as comedy goes. I don't like, well, that's not funny. I can't go down. I can't be a normal 55-year-old or normal 65-year-old. I can't do that. You see Letterman, you go back and see things that he did 20 years ago, and they
hold up.
Ah, they were great.
And as a matter of
he was fighting with people in fast food. He was fighting with people in fast food chains before the viral videos. They all came from Letterman. I forgot about that.
And the fact is they're still doing it, just not as well. And there's a fantastic article that Tom Shales, who we had on last week,
yes,
he posted. Remember when he laughed about the Daily Beast?
Yes.
He says that's where he writes. Read Tom Shales' take on Letterman's career, because he explains that it's sad that Letterman is leaving, the show is leaving. But again, he recaps the fact that an entire segment of entertainment stops when that show's over, because that was
true.
The last of it. He was a dinosaur, but he was the hippest, funnest dinosaur in town. And it's
that
a really good article.
That drive-through bit killed me when I had never seen that in my life. I had never seen that. So I'm sitting there
by
dying.
The way, if you're writing notes to the Washington Post, Justin William Moyer, or it's Justice W.M. Moyer, why David Letterman is among television history's biggest losers.
Yeah.
Now, Oscar, I'm getting into this now.
Go ahead.
I want to lop the two.
Please.
They talk about clickbait. You're familiar with that term.
Happens to me every day.
Stop it, Tony. It's not that at all.
Publishes something just to get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
This is the opening paragraph. He played hard, he played smart, and by many accounts, he was funnier than the other guy. But when David Letterman leaves late-night TV after his final show Wednesday night, he will leave as an also-ran. No matter how much moral outrage his defenders can muster, no matter how many column inches were filled by writers who said America should like him more, Letterman is the man who couldn't beat Jay Leno and sometimes couldn't beat Leno's replacement. That is someone that doesn't understand anything.
You're right.
About what comedy is. If you want to make it about what ratings are exclusively, then that's fine. But if you're doing that, you're losing sight of the fact that that pisses me off so much.
It should.
Just to read that
it's a slap in his face. And you know what he never mentions, and it's something, was it Julia Roberts who used the word intelligence? Bringing intelligence to late
bringing
night?
Bringing intelligence to it.
When's the next time or any time ever that someone will thank Jay Leno for being intelligent? Show me that person.
I don't know. I mean, it's just guys like this. I don't know whether he was just doing that for so my question to you think he's doing that just to get clickbait?
I haven't read the article, so I have to read the article to know.
I'll give you another thing. He was a former weatherman and failed morning show host who perfected a sort of snide, irreverent attitude toward showbiz types. Rolling Stone wrote after Letterman's announced of his retirement last year, after getting noticed by Johnny Carson and making a fan out of NBC bigwig Fred Silverman. However, Letterman found himself taking his goofy antics to a 12:30 time slot, and thus a late-night legend was born. And then so that's from another article. He goes on to talk about how Letterman didn't play the game right.
If you're going to write that type of article, you have to be prepared for what comes to you, especially the day after a guy retires. I don't think it's a classy move. Is he looking for clicks? Absolutely. But it's not a classy move to highlight the fact that if you look at just ratings, he didn't win. But if that's the angle he wants to take, he's got to be prepared for what comes to him.
And to call David Letterman,
go ahead.
I was going to say, to call David Letterman a failed morning show host is like calling George Clooney a failed sitcom star.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he used that morning show to set the template for late night, and it was like a dress rehearsal. It was a 3-month dress rehearsal, and it didn't succeed with great flying colors because housewives didn't want to see that in the morning. That was a show built for late night. You really can't hold that against him.
I think that's the wrong tone. You should celebrate a guy, especially after he's dedicated 30 plus years to his craft.
Yeah, it's just basically talking about the fact that it says, after all, Letterman's shtick did not always play well, his attempt at hosting the Academy Awards. This guy goes back and grabs all the crap about that. He took a hiatus for a quintuple bypass.
Oh, what a jerk. You mean he took time off for heart surgery? Loser.
The death of Xavier's life, and he fessed up to an extramarital affair in 2009. All the crap about Letterman is put in there. And said, when gushing with gratitude or regret, Letterman could seem petty. Even as the host reached out to Leno for a 2010 Super Bowl commercial, he was taking over O'Brien's side in the Leno O'Brien Wars. Of course he was taking O'Brien's side. Leno screwed Conan O'Brien, and he screwed Dave too. That's what Jay did. That's why Jay went out the way Jay went out. This guy is so clueless.
He's a pain in the ass. And another great thing.
Read the article. It'll piss you off like it pissed me off too.
This guy, all the stuff that he's saying that are Letterman's shortcomings.
Justin W.M. Moyer.
Oh, okay. But the Letterman was the first to call attention to all his shortcomings. It's not like he's breaking any news. Dave didn't go a month without talking about how he screwed up Academy Awards.
When did the turn happen? Because, again, I got to see a body of work that I had never seen before.
Right.
When did the turn happen? Because he seemed so much happier when he was younger. To the grumpy side.
No, he never was. He was never happy.
He was always.
No, I'd say he went through more curmudgeon periods,
and he was bummed out that he didn't get Tonight Show. At the end of this article, the guy writes, "If Letterman wanted to use a 20-year-old feud for laughs, or simply remind his audience the feud existed, such comments," and he gave quotes about what he said. Late Night was already moving on. Oh, screw you! And then he says at the end, "Sounds like a silver medal is in order."
What a jerk.
Complete ass.
Wow.
But it's wrong.
Jerk
Here's
store.
The thing. The reason I'm angry about that, it's wrong. It's totally wrong because the winner is David Letterman for the longevity. That's the way I look at
and
it.
The legacy.
Kind of,
I know.
And the legacy.
Tom
and
Shales doesn't care, but I think in 20 years, I think Jay Leno will be forgotten. And I think David Letterman will still be celebrated because Dave Letterman advanced the medium. He truly, truly did.
And
Jay Leno
told
jokes, and that's it.
You see all the guys that do it and the homage they're playing towards David Letterman. You can see that. But what I will remember, this is what I will remember from that last show, is that right to the very end, he brought the funny with his clips and the way the clips were presented and the jokes that he made right up until the end with the monologue. And then the sentimental, the absolute perfect amount of sentimentality, which he did better than Carson with.
Yeah.
It was absolutely perfection.
It blew me away.
In a television
show. I really liked it. I was blown away. I sat there, and I actually watched it with Shannon, and he's like, oh, man, like this guy ruled. And I felt,
she knew,
I felt,
she
I felt guilty.
Was.
She was just humoring me, but she was laughing. But I
so sad. That is so sad to me.
I remember sitting there and I was like, oh, I wish I like. I hadn't seen this body of work that was just so phenomenal.
See, when if Shannon grew up in my era, she would have known these kind of guys because. Now, you know, Shannon basically grew up in the time of 1,000 channels, 1,000 opportunities
and
to
YouTube.
Watch different things. And YouTube. So it's just, you're not going to have, I didn't have a choice. I knew when I was 5 years old who Johnny Carson was.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what was going on with that because I had no choice. That was the one, if I got to my parents at a party and I got to stay up late, I could watch Johnny. It was something else.
I saw Kimmel do a great thing where he actually... The night before, on this would be Tuesday night.
Right.
He said that he told his audience that there would be they would be running a rerun on their show on Wednesday night. And he said, do not watch the rerun. Watch Letterman.
Conan did the same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty
Conan
cool.
Conan actually was sitting there with Patton, I think.
Yeah, wait. I've got the clip in the audio vault. It's fantastic. Okay. It's really wonderful.
And turn over to
they like
to
did
Letterman
a, they
right
did
now.
A countdown.
That, you know, you're not going to get that.
And
that's not because they thought he was such a super nice guy. That's because they had such tremendous amount
respect.
Of respect for the body of work that he had. And then Foo Fighters at the end with a montage. If you have TiVo'd it and you haven't seen it, I'm not spoiling anything for you. You're going to love the way it went down. And as far as the top 10 list, you're going to play those during the audio vault, right?
I can play it then, or I can play it now if you want. Right now, actually, we should
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wait till the audio vault to play those because I think that's worth hanging around for. But I my money was on Chris Rock.
Oh, so great.
The best line. That to me was the best line. We'll take a break, come back, and I'll tell you about just a fantastic experience with a popular company down here in Florida. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Siri, and I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about Rob Spuak's bag. Rob loves a lot of things, but what he loves more than anything is having listeners fill up his bag week after week with wonderful messages. Would you be a sweetie and drop him a message for his bag? Send it right along to Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com. Don't forget the two P's. Then, every Wednesday, who knows, Rob might reach into his bag and pick out a message from Y. Oh, you, please, help Rob with his bag. Would you like to know where Avengers Age of Ultron is playing near you?
That is fantastic. Didn't make the same mistake I made the last time I was hitting the road with my Harry's. Today, I got done shaving. I took my razor out, and I threw it into the sink to make sure that I would collect it on my way out the door today.
Attaboy,
good
Mike.
Man.
Good thinking.
I love it. Stop overpaying for lousy big-name razors, people. You can save while you shave. All you need is Harry's. Harry's puts nearly a century of shaving experience into each blade for a superior shave every single time. I've become truly a connoisseur, and it was, what, last weekend? The weekend that I had the big party weekend down in the Keys.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I forgot my Harry's, and I had to go out to a drugstore. And I didn't buy, a cheap razor in the drugstore. I actually bought one of the big-name brands, and it sucked. I'm sorry, I have to tell you that. I'm so pleased with the quality of my Harry's, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. And by the way, the big-time names, they're half the price of big-name brands of Harry's. The average shaver spends $300 a year on blades. Cut that in half with Harry's. Do it. Try it. You'll be a Harry's guy for life. Get $5 off your first purchase with our code TMOS. That means the starter set is only $10. You get the razor, three blades, a bottle of shaving cream, all sent straight to your door with no middleman and free shipping. And as always, your satisfaction guaranteed. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter our code TMOS at checkout for $5 off your first order of a starter set. That's right. The code TMOS. You get a month's worth of shaving for just $10. HARRYS.com and the TMOS code at checkout, and change the way you shave forever.
The best.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. So yesterday, as we're doing the show, we tape shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday early this week. We're doing it yesterday, and I'm on the air doing this show while Mrs. O'Mara makes her way down to northern part of Fort Myers. I should say up to the northern part of Fort Myers.
So northern, western, South Florida.
That is exactly right. If you had a map, I would point to it and say that is northern, western, south
Somewhere
Florida.
Somewhere near Georgia.
That's right. Near Texas,
heading towards Georgia. Very good,
okay.
Oscar. Heading towards Georgia.
Geography.
That's exactly where she's going. So she moves out there, and she's going to get a U-Haul trailer because we have one last bunch of stuff that we're bringing up north to my my mother-in-law's trailer, her storage unit.
Mike, and to be fair, it is on blocks. It's more of a permanent structure.
It's been a long week.
The trailer you're renting, is it an open trailer or the boxy one?
It is a box trailer, a 6x12 box trailer. Now it is. Yesterday, 2 days ago, they call Carla in the morning at 8:30 and say, this is a confirmation call for your trailer rental to pick up at ba-ba-ba address in ba-ba-ba Fort Myers.
Is this
ba-ba-ba
the O'Mara
time.
House?
This is Scott Jen.
Oh, no.
I sure hope you're looking forward to your trailer.
So I'm working off her story. Mrs. O'Mara arrives at the trailer location, and at the trailer location, she walks in and says, hi, I'm here. You called yesterday. I'm here to pick up my 6x12. We don't have a 6x12 trailer. I said, they don't
at
have
all?
One. At all. At all. She said, I was given a reminder call yesterday,
and I
reconfirmed with you, we don't have one. And it's the attitude behind the counter that that they've been screwed. Right. You know
right.
how you deal with that?
Right.
So they're exasperated, and they've been probably dealing with this with other people and probably have dealt with this with other people before. So they said, what am I supposed to do? And only after she pitched a little bit of a fit do they come up with the solution. Well, how about another size trailer? We don't have any other size trailers. We don't have any trailers.
Well, what business are
the
they in?
That,
what are they doing?
The trailer rental.
Tanks?
Trailer rentals.
So
that's what they're.
They
yes.
should have some, right?
That you would think they'd have some, right?
What's
especially the one that we've been to this one before. I've
they
driven by
have
there.
It.
They should have it. They should, but they don't. So she's getting slowly pissed off. But this is where, unfortunately, having Gorilla Man next to her is usually quite helpful.
Yeah,
I will stand in there and I put it all back on them. That's the way I do it.
Now, I know that you she keeps you behind the big wall on Skull Island, Kong. But
yes.
when she goes out and does that, let's use you as a baseline.
I just want to give you a little perspective on that. If I'm standing in there and we've gotten a reminder call about trailers and somebody has actually taken the time to call us with their automated system, and then we have called back because we're really good customers and we want them to know that, if they say to me that we have no trailers, they're going to get this look. I will communicate this look through music.
Ooh.
Or maybe better it would be this one, right? Yeah, this is
Yeah.
And my wife is much sweeter than I am. But
if we use you as a baseline, and whenever you do any sort of comparative journalism, you need to have a baseline.
Yes.
I know that Oscar and I know you. The listeners know you. We've spent a long time. Mike, we've all grown up together. Let's call you 50% of rage. You're where you operate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bonus show this week, by the way, they fillet me. If people want to hear me filleted and want to hear my psychotherapy session with everybody, the boys will explain the ABCs of me. And as usual, I think it's very open and honest. I don't believe I come out smelling like a rose.
Disagree.
But at the same time, ass.
I thought best part is after we talk to you and then you thank the Foo Fighters.
If we use
you as a 50% baseline, meaning that there are many that are worse.
I'm not dealing with any of this because we're recording two shows.
Where is Carla's temperament?
Carla's a hothead.
Is she really? If you're a 50, where is she?
She can be a 50 when she wants to be.
Okay.
But usually that's just with me.
Yeah.
So that's the way that works. But she ends up, this is their solution. They say, she's got movers coming at 9:30. So the trailer was supposed to be picked up 9, movers come at 9:30 at the storage unit, and this is when people do their own stuff. And so she's got these movers coming in, and we got to load a 6x12 trailer, maybe a third, half of the way full. Not a huge day, not a big deal, but it's heavy stuff, and she needs help with it. And you give movers, an hour to sitting around, they're going to charge you for doing nothing. So the solution is, there's another location that's got one. You got to go up to Route 75. Sends Carla off to another location.
Man.
So
I hate that.
F you, F-ball. Thanks for nothing. Incompetent business. U-Haul in this part of the. I'm not going
to
give their address.
I think the business. This has happened to me with trucks when I've rented trucks in the past.
I know that they've got to overbook because they account on people not showing.
Inherently, you are relying on people bringing back your equipment on time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if one or two clients don't bring the equipment back on time, that it creates a logjam.
And that would be the precise reason that a rental car company and a rental trailer company has it's not the word I'm not using is not redundancy.
A fleet.
It is a fleet. Surplus.
Yes.
You always have a surplus. For example, I am traveling to the Great White North. I will be our most important piece of equipment. I will be bringing two of them.
Yeah.
In case there is a problem with one, I will use another. So, but they have fleets of these.
Mike, in Florida, what happens is, the person, say, rents the 6x12 for 2 or 3 days, and they call in and they say, I'm sorry, I can't return it. I'm still living in it. And so,
or B, there's a meth explosion.
Yes.
And the trailer.
The interior is sticky.
Has been damaged.
Right.
At the end of this story, it does have a happy ending. I will tell you, the lot we ended up going to today, where I did, but let me, I don't want to go skip ahead. I want to tell you, they sent her to the other location. Now, the first location, the way I've understood this story is we go to the medium U-Haul place. Fairly large, lots of trailers and trucks that are supposed
to
be around.
Owned by a psychic?
But it doesn't appear to be the Grand Poobah.
Oh, a satellite issue. Grand Center.
But I've driven by this place, and I thought it was the main place, but I'll get to that later.
Okay.
They send Carla off the highway to this other place that's a storage place that just has U-Hauls.
Okay.
And she goes to this place, but they're certified U-Haul distributors. So these are people that, in order to get that franchise,
what do you think you have to go through?
You know what? I would imagine you have to you at least have to know how to get people the trailers on their rigs and do a safety check.
Yeah,
that's it. That other
if
than
you
that,
own a
probably
boat,
not
you can
a
own a franchise.
Yeah.
So she gets up
there.
They
all have their MBAs, Oscar.
They have a 6x8 trailer or 6x12. I'm not sure what it is. It's got one of those trailers that she needs.
Right.
They attach the trailer and the turn signals do not work. And the brake lights do not work. At this point, Carla is 15 minutes away from the movers and is forced to make the decision after the guy says, you can take it back. It's just probably a bulb, and they'll fix it at the other place where you couldn't get the other one. Carla, the person at the storage place is so monosyllabic and so ridiculously horrible.
She makes, well, in my opinion, an error in judgment and decides to take the U-Haul and take it to the storage facility.
Now, question, did she discover the broken lights? Was it reported to her?
No, they were doing the test. They were doing the test and the safety check, nothing was working. And so she goes to the storage facility where it's our last day of the storage facility and we don't want to get a surcharge for that.
Right.
So we're loading the last bit of our stuff in there. No more storage locker. I'm very excited about that. She brings the U-Haul back to the house.
Right.
And, why don't we leave it there? I will pick it up where I see this trailer drive in.
Yes.
The trailer that appears to me to have perhaps been driven from the Ukraine.
Oh, no.
In 1963, all the way to Fort Myers.
Quick question, though, Mike, before we go to break.
Yes.
Now that you've emptied your storage locker, is it great to have your Hummels back in the house?
Oh, it's fantastic. I truly love it. We'll be right back.
You think that people would have had enough of a silly love song?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hey.
Yay! This coming Sunday, I'm going to be there. Oscar's going to be there. Rob's going to be there. Hopefully, Zoolander's going to be there. Hopefully, Rob Ford, are you going to be there?
Ford has left.
Oh, he's left. That's great.
He's
left
saving
early.
Us a table.
He's not even here.
Good. Okay. Pony, you going to be coming by?
I wouldn't miss it for the world, Mike.
It's Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, 18th anniversary, Memorial Day weekend bash. Sunday, May 24th. Sunday. We'll meet up for Rolling Thunder. It's a great bike ride at 8 a.m. We roll out at 9 a.m. I'll be there approximately 8:30, 7:30. Then the outdoor party in the alley. The fun starts at noon. Crawfish, crabs, lobster, ribs, chicken, burgers, dogs, more. No cover charge and live music. And Jimmy wanted us to mention every single band.
Listen to this, Mike. The Johnny Rushmore
Band.
Fast as
you can.
They call
start
me
away,
piano.
Start again. No, okay. Start again.
All right. Are we ready? In three, two, one. The Johnny Rushmore Band. Open jam with Brian Sims. They Call Me Piano. Deadline. Roadhouse Junkies. Presentation of the National Anthem with Kimmy Holland. The Road Ducks. Oh, the Jot-O Blues Band with guest appearances, Mike. Nigel Brewer's tribute to the flag, and I think what we're all most excited about, Children of the Grave, a tribute to Black Sabbath.
Children of the Grave.
Children of the Grave. Happy Memorial Day.
I guess they'll be going later. Merchandise sales to benefit Operation Homefront and Recycle Life. It's the party that kicks off your summer, plus a chance to spend some quality time with Uncle Dave. Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, 697 Spring Street in Herndon, Virginia. Visit Facebook.com/Jimmy's Tavern for all the deets, or call Jimmy at 703-435-JIMS.
Hey!
That's 703-435-JIMS. He would love to talk with you. See you there.
You know what? If you make a reservation, I'll write it down in his notebook.
He's a good guy.
Hey.
He's my pal. So we take you back to the debacle of the U-Haul. She has been sent to a second place where they give her an antiquated, dilapidated, horrible, terrible trailer. At this point, I'm done doing the show. I go out. I look at this trailer.
Yeah,
this trailer has corrosion on it in like the wheel well area.
Oh,
that
dear.
I said, 1,700 miles. What could possibly go wrong? And then she says, and
Mike, you paint a picture of, did you actually see her coming around the corner? Because
no.
If so, this is sort of what I pictured is when Carla is coming.
What in the name of God is that? It was such a piece of garbage.
They're not cheap.
I immediately thought danger. I truly did. I said,
yeah.
Not only don't fix the electric. I want to. We made a couple of bad calculations here, okay? At
right.
this point, Carla says, well, we should take it down. They told me to take it down and get it fixed down at the dealership. I said, well, you've got it loaded already. And to be honest with you, that's not safe to drive the way it is without having parking brakes. And she says, well, they have roadside assistance. I said, bingo.
Aha.
Call roadside. U-Haul roadside assistance.
Good
that's
thinking,
part of the equation.
Mike. Good thinking.
They come to you. And
smart.
At that point, we call. And we get some incredible character that Jonathan Winters played back in the 70s who shows up. To be the repairman, and that lasts all day until sunset.
Oh God!
Oh,
I pray.
God.
Was he in coveralls? I picture him in coveralls.
He was wearing one of those workman outfits that you see on the side of the road with the fluorescent striping on them. So,
well,
and he was an older guy. Yeah. He was a very nice man, but he was a man who seemed overworked, to say the very least.
Oh.
And
I had many nice
conversations with this old fellow that was working on this. And it went on for about 2 hours, about 4 o'clock. When he said he had another call and either we could get another trailer or he would come back and finally fix it. At this point, we're saying...
But the trailer is already loaded. You hired
the
movers.
The trailer is already loaded. And I said, and we're talking to U-Haul Roadside Assistance. We're doing this. And I said...
Hey, Mike, more like Screw Haul.
Screw Haul. Thank you very much. And we are going back and forth and back and forth. And he comes back later on at about 5:30, 6. And, you know, the sun is slowly but surely going to make its way to go down in a couple hours. So at this point, we're getting a little freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I come out. Carla hasn't bothered him at all. At this point, I'm popping out every 15, 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I come in and he goes, well, we got the taillights are working. I'm like, oh, fantastic.
Good.
So, but I blew the fuse in your car. And I said, oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, no, your car.
And then I come back out a second time. He said, well, I'll get it replaced. I come back, and half an hour later, he says, I found one fuse box. I couldn't find the other one. And I'm just at this point going,
oh, no.
I want to die. I want to die.
You know what? I'm no
I go
master.
In, hold on.
Oh, God.
I go in, and I get the
manual.
The online manual, which is usually better than what you find in the glove compartment, and they give you a step-by-step how to find the inside fuse box. I go, I find that, believe it or not. I'm just Johnny Handy. I feel like this triumph, this grizzled
in the glove
mechanic.
Box or
and
underneath the steering wheel?
It was, you know, it's underneath the glove compartment. You have to squeeze.
Oh,
it's a convoluted access
a drop
to
down,
it.
A drop-down.
Where you have
down,
to
yeah.
drop down the entire glove box to access this. Thank you, manufacturer. But anyway, so they do this, and I leave. Again, he said, that's it. No problem. I'll do it. So I come back out 20 minutes later. He gives me a big thumbs up. And I said, okay, did you find the right fuse? Yeah, got the right fuse. Your fuse is all set. Good to go. I come back 20 minutes later. He says, I blew a fuse on the trailer now. Oh. I'm just sitting there going, okay, what?
Wow.
20 minutes later, I come. By time, this is sunset right now. It's darkness has set.
It's literally an all-day affair for you.
He has just called the U-Haul place, and he has told them that he is not going to risk any more damage to my SUV by working on the U-Haul, and he has called them, and they are going to call her right away. That's the thing that went on with this whole U-Haul roadside assistance. They say they never call. They never call. We always had to call them back. So we finally, he gets on with the lady. When we finally make a call to another lady, he puts me on with the lady he was talking to, and I give her the whole story from 8:30 in the morning to this guy sitting in our driveway to the fact that, you know, this is 24 hours of this that is going on and we don't know what the hell to do. And at this point, the lady says, I am going to make arrangements to get you a replacement trailer. I am going to make arrangements to have movers transfer the load that's in that trailer to the new trailer. And when do you want it by, tonight or tomorrow? I said, well, I didn't. And Carly goes, tonight! Tonight!
Whoa!
Tonight. And as we're walking back into the house, I say, it's not going to happen tonight. I guarantee it's after 7 o'clock.
Right.
It's not. It will not happen tonight. Rest assured, no problem. So a half an hour goes by, and we get another call.
Uh-oh.
And the call is that they will have a location that we will take it to, even though the car is unsafe, we will take it to another location. My wife hands me the phone at this point, and this is when I deal with a lady named Mary.
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 What a wonderful name.
Yeah, it's your mother's name.
Mama.
Mary, Mary, Mama. How does your garden grow? You biatch.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Mary.
Mary is the manager. She is the supervisor of the other lady I spoke to about 40 minutes earlier.
Mm. Oh, my.
And
it runs
Mary
downhill,
is,
so she's at the top of the heap.
This is how the conversation begins. Well, you're going to have the decision as to whether you want us to bring out a trailer or bring yours to the location where there is a trailer for you at 7 o'clock. I said, the trailer is not drivable.
Right, not
she
safe.
Said, well, it's just I can't guarantee the time. I said, what do you mean you can't guarantee? This is your mistake. And at this point, she
says, should a manager ever start a sentence with, it's just that I can't do it? That's not what you want to hear.
Then she says to me, and this is where it went south, in a big hurry, and I know I'm between a rock and a hard place, because I can't go scorched earth because I don't have options.
Right.
I've got this trailer loaded that's attached to the car.
You're beholden to
them. And I say
to
this lady, I say, I just don't think it would be legal to put that on the road. She said, it's legal. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "So you're a police officer?"
Whoa!
And I said, "I don't have brake lights or signal lights. I don't have anything, and I have no options." I said, "What is your name, Mary Ryan?" I said, "Ryan." You said, "You want me to spell it?" I said, "I know how to. I'm Irish. I know how to spell Ryan."
Yeah.
And then she says, "Well, it's not spelled Ryan." I said, "Lady, I don't give a flying," and I said the F word, it's spelled.
No.
You are nitpicking me now on crap. And you know the professional person who deals with people bitching all the time?
Yep.
And she is so conditioned to be a contrarian that she is driving me out of my mind. But I know that I have no options, and that I have to gather myself, and I have to stop the rage, and I have to start
that goodwill,
figuring out solutions.
Really building up.
I have to. And I said that to her. I said, "I know I have no options here." I said, "We're going to have to work together, but you are driving me out of my mind with your tone and with your adversarial nature." And with that, she said, "Well, maybe we can start again." And I'm like, "Maybe we can.
Maybe we can."
Maybe we can. And of course, we didn't get it last night. Of course, we had to drive 1.5 hour further get the one today, where I had at 7 o'clock in the morning to follow my wife to the U-Haul dealership on the other side of town, over the bridge in it's called North Fort Myers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Understood.
It's a big town, Fort Myers. And I'm following her the whole way, hoping I don't rear end her because she has no brake lights and no taillights. And meanwhile, they have arranged to give us two movers, just like we paid for the day before, who will transfer the stuff into the trailer. We pull in. I said to the guy as he walks out, we finally meet a good guy from U-Haul. Forgot what his name was because I left shortly thereafter.
Understood.
But I said, I point over, and there are probably four of the 6x12 trailers over there. And I go, "That one!" And I point to this brand new, this
shining.
It had the new lettering on it.
Yes.
That one. And he picks up on it right away. And it's 7:05. No movers to be found. They were scheduled to be there at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
No movers around. At this point, the guy is directing me on where to put the SUV to back the trailer up to the other trailer. And he's being so competent that he's taking all the incompetence away from the U-Haul roadside assistants, who then call Carla 15 minutes later and say, "The movers will be there a little over an hour from now. They broke down." And that's when I was never more proud of my wife, where she said, "No, they didn't. That's BS." And Mrs. O'Mara arrived maybe 15 minutes ago. I don't know how the date ended. I think the guy from the dealership helped her load the truck while I was coming back and getting the show ready.
Can you call her in? I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's a little feedback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Carla.
I've been listening.
Oh, you've been listening. Did I get it right?
Yeah,
you got
it completely right.
How did you finally end up? Did the movers ever show up?
The movers never showed up. They were supposed to be there at 7 o'clock. The nice man there, Ken or Kent.
Isn't Kent. It great the way the O'Maras always remember the positive?
Yeah. But Mary, Ken, we know Mary Ryan.
Yeah, Mary Ryan.
Not spelled Ryan.
It's not spelled that way. Yeah. No, you can drive it. It's not that big a deal.
It's okay. It's not a big deal if somebody runs into the back of my car.
No.
So you loaded it with Ken?
Okay, so yes, he helped me load it. It took us probably 25 minutes.
Not a big deal.
And I just let the other moving company come. I guess they showed up there over an hour later. And I said, cancel them. Their contract was void when they didn't show up at 7 o'clock
a.m. That's my girl.
Nice.
Wow.
High five,
baby.
Way to
go.
Good job.
Way to go.
Look forward to that, making that trip. It's Carla. She was taking me special across the street, and she popped in here. Anything that I left out, or did I pretty much pop back in here for a second? Did I leave anything out?
No, I think you told the story. And I'm so tired right now. I just want to go to sleep.
Well, at least you don't have a long drive today.
Yeah. At least you don't have a long drive, Rob said.
Love the way you think, Rob.
You know what, though? I'll tell you why you're a sweetheart. Because if I was in that same situation, all things equal, when they said the movers will be there in just over an hour, I'll say, great, I'll meet them there.
Yeah. Well, in a way, she didn't do that. Did you tell anybody that you were splitting, that it was all done?
Oh, I told Ken when they got there.
Oh, he'll
just
be pro. He'll do it.
I told him I just left. I was pissed.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So,
yeah, cool. It's just little details.
Worked it out. Carla to the rescue
Carla
again.
Carla did a nice job. I give her a nice round of applause, taking care of all.
Hey, Oscar.
Yes.
Nice, you shaved.
I did shave.
Yeah,
not this morning, though.
I know it's been a while, but I haven't seen you since you shaved.
You're looking beautiful as well.
Oh, take it easy, you two.
That's nice.
Carla, I got a haircut yesterday.
What the f*** is that? All right, see you later. Bye. Look forward to making that trip to Georgia with you today.
See you at Jimmy's.
See you. Yeah, she's gotten bored with me. I'm aging. Look at me. The weight loss doesn't matter. I'm aging.
She's
That's it.
Breaking balls.
I think your glasses look great.
Thank you very much, Ron. I appreciate that.
See you at Jimmy's. So. You want to meet in the bathroom?
So it's the tale of just, you know, you don't realize, you think of it as something minor. The poor people that might have to deal with this.
Flawed system. It's a flawed system because of the huge variable of the idiot before you that has the trailer, and it's compounded by the fact that obviously they're renting garbage.
And safety should be paramount. You should never be allowed to go on the road.
Safety first, Mike. What have I always said?
Safety first.
With a vehicle.
That's right.
And the person that's managing the place should say, we don't want you on that road. That's a liability for the entire franchise.
And you spell Ryan, R-Y-A-N. Yeah. End of story.
If you could think about spelling your last name in a different way, you could think about actually taking care of your customer.
I'm sorry. We blew a fuse in your name.
And here's the thing.
The only have to get another letter.
Full disclosure. The only thing that we were dishonest about was
there was nothing.
We weren't leaving yesterday.
No,
if we
had
been,
you have to push them.
If we had been leaving yesterday, we would have been royally boned.
Absolutely.
It would have been 10 times worse than it still was bad, but you know what? With all the crap, Ken, at the U-Haul dealership, with all the crap that we went through, it takes one guy to completely change everything. You get on his lot, his well-organized lot, the lot where he's in a more rural part of town, but he, in the big city, probably in his 40s, first of all, there. Before we got there, which meant he was there at a place that opens at 7 o'clock. He was there before 7. He's that kind of guy.
You want a tight ship. There's something, when you walk onto someone's lot, when you walk into someone's service bay, you want to see, I'll pay more money. I'm not going to lie. When I walk into a service bay and I say, everything's organized. Mm-hmm. Nothing's just sitting around.
Oh, you want it to look clean and right.
Perfect. Yeah. And if it's not, that's when I get worried. Because that's when you lose things. I feel like that's when you will lose a sight of the actual project and things go wrong.
I don't know where your fuse is, sir. I had your fuse, and I don't know where it is. And you know what? What really blows my mind, you patted yourself on the back.
I pray to God that he didn't F up the car.
Does the radio work?
Well, I haven't checked anything.
But he didn't run into a gas station.
I have no idea.
Look at these eyes, guys. Look at these eyes. There's the bags. Look at those bags. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
You know what? You probably didn't even need to rent a trailer. You could have just packed those bags.
Yeah, just put them under it.
Those bags aren't made for walking.
I don't know.
By the way, I'm bringing my the backup computer, too, but good luck getting into it because I can't get into it.
Oh, we'll get into it. We got Matthew Bloom.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have, and the 7 key doesn't work on it.
Good to know.
I think the number keys. Remember when I got that temporary?
Yeah, the number key is completely. We don't need the number key.
The reason is because he used to use it to buy his online lottery, and it just pounded the 7.
Powerball.
It's coming.
Powerball.
My point is, it's coming.
Thanks, man.
And we are about to. It's going to be the U-Haul two dogs, a pug and a chihuahua, two adults, and a 22-month-old who is now slightly more in need of stimulation than he was previously on trips. He will not just sit there like so much of a rag doll. He will need to be ocupado.
Well,
that's
an easy fix, Mike. All you have to do is show him where the fuse box is.
Yeah. There you go, son. Work on that.
Those little fingers. Oh.
And good luck to my daughter.
Very nimble.
Good luck to my daughter, Catherine, in the wilds of Manhattan today for the very first time. Good luck to you. I do hope that you get that job in Tribeca, darling.
Aww.
I truly do. And I wish you Godspeed with that. Do not go on any auditions where, you know, it's a big guy that looks like Artie Lang from the Howard Stern Show.
I feel really bad because I knew she was going to be in New York, and I sent her the link to get Letterman tickets.
I know. We will take a break and come back with news you may not need. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Picking up business.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
He takes the lid off of his toy chest, and he has turned it into his own boat. And he's going, boat, boat, boat. Yes, that's a blue boat. Boat, boat, boat. I said, that's a very nice one. Boat, boat. I said, yes, I see the blue boat. Boat, boat, boat. Yes, we see the boat. That's fantastic. Really happy about that. Boat, boat, boat. And it goes on. He's the love of my life.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I adore him. I walk through fire for the kid. It's like, all right, enough with the fucking boat. Please, just put the... Put a boat, but I know it is a boat, or you want to see the fucking boats on my computer. Every time we sit there and Daddy's doing his show prep, you want to see boats. Boats, 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 boats. I say, I get it. I get the whole boat thing. I'm starting to feel 55. I'm enough.
No.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Boat.
Poor kid. That is an a-hole. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. Certainly makes my season with the Red Sox more fun because the Red Sox are sucking it lately this year. And the only way I can get gassed up about the Sox is playing FanDuel.
Yes.
They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports leagues. They have immediate cash payouts and entry fees that start at just $1. There is no season-long commitment. That's the best thing about FanDuel. And there are no upfront fees either. David S., he's from New Mexico. He took $3 of his hard-earned money, and he turned it into $10,000 in one night of fantasy baseball. That's three, Rob, not two, three grand.
$3 into $10,000.
Thank
three.
You.
Crazy.
Not too
shabby.
Join him and the over 1 million others who have already won. Play today, win tonight. FanDuel.com, handing out more than $2.5 million. Put that on your fingers. That's every single day this MLB season. But you can't win if you don't play. And don't forget, FanDuel has great fantasy action for the NHL and NBA playoff games, too. Oh, my God, that playoff game last night. Rangers, Tampa Bay, unbelievable. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code TMOS and sign up today. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. Just remember, if you enter TMOS at FanDuel.com, where every day is a brand new season.
News.
David Letterman signed off for good last night with a show that was heavy on clips from his last 30-odd years on TV. But one of the highlights was an all-star list of the top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave. You're going to have a little bit of that in the audio vault today,
right? The whole thing. We're going to run the whole thing. It's great.
It was delivered by, in this order, Alec Baldwin, Barbara Walters, Steve Martin, Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Carrey, Chris Rock, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Peyton Manning, Tina Fey, and Bill Murray. Julia had the best line, and I will save that for Mr. Spiewak. My opinion, they said Julia had the best line, but I think Chris Rock had the best line.
There was a lot of great stuff. And I think the best gag was the way Barbara Walters pretended to be so out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Great bit, Barbara.
When that time comes, brother.
Oh, I know.
God, don't, it's a freight train, isn't it?
It's really bad to just keep, shoveling her out on the stage, and she can't even find her mark. It was
We
bad.
Didn't even talk about Rickles when he was on with Howard.
Oh, do you know that is, and the thing that was so sad about that, that's the first time I've ever seen him not on, not dead on.
He didn't know where he was.
No,
it was
a bad night.
Jim Carrey, when he did his hair and his eyes. Oh, my God.
And I don't even like Jim Carrey.
I almost asked myself.
That was the best.
I said, that's what I used to love on In Living Color. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what I love.
Fire Marshal Bill, one of the greatest characters ever created, with perfect for Jim Carrey. You know, two shows, Mad TV and In Living Color.
Oh yeah!
Never got the attention I thought they deserved. God, I'd love to see another late night show. I'd love to see another weekend sketch show. It's ripe for it.
All we need
is
to be funny, and they can beat Saturday Night Live. That's all you need to just be funny. That's
just
it.
Just be funny. Maxim revealed its full Hot 100 yesterday, but other than Taylor Swift being number one, nobody else is ranked. This is a good year for...
Did she make it?
Timbertina. I'm not sure.
I love that sound effect. It makes me really happy.
One more time.
That's funny. That's funny because I'm going up there. Nobody else is ranked. They just broke them into categories. Here's some of the women who made the list. I'll just give you the actresses.
Okay.
Avengers co-stars Elizabeth Olsen and Scarlett Johansson. Wonder Woman, is it Gal Gadot? Is that
no? It's
her
Linda
name?
Carter who played her, I believe.
Thank you. Fantastic Four star Kate Mara. Oh, she's
pretty. Oh yeah.
Oh, and also from the first season of House of Cards, isn't that her?
Oh yeah,
I think that's her.
She kissed the train. Mike.
She goes topless in House of Cards.
She kissed the train.
Hey,
why don't you come on out to Metro Center and kiss the train, Kate? Yeah. Oh, how
you
unfortunate!
You better not stand on a subway platform when you're involved in political intrigue.
Unless you're topless.
We're gonna need a mop.
Yeah, a lot of topless in House of Cards.
Oh yeah, I kept on pausing.
X-Men star Jennifer Lawrence and Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. Dakota Johnson, Lupita Nyong'o, Emma Stone, Zoe Kravitz, Lily Collins, and Angelina Jolie.
That's a good list.
Maxim has changed, though. Maxim is not what it used to be. It used to be a little smuttier. Now it's like trying to be kind of a GQ or something.
Yeah. Boo. Bring the smut and kiss the train.
Kiss the train. Earlier this week, an Australian newspaper said that Rebel Wilson, who's getting all sorts of wonderful play, the fat girl that hits big does well, doesn't she?
And she was in our show open today.
Oh, yeah.
And she lied about her age, claiming she's 29 when she's actually older.
Yeah. She's 72.
She looks ageless, though.
That's true.
High praise, Oscar.
No, but I'm serious.
It's funny that she's already lying about it, and it's sort of silly. They also said she lied about certain things pertaining to her upbringing, like that she grew up in a poorer than neighborhood than she really did, and that her real given name isn't actually Rebel. Well, none of this is a big deal, but it turns out that Rebel is not 29. She's 35.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big lying.
That's pretty big percentage there.
According to records for the Australian Securities and Investment Commission. This is such a stupid story.
And Mike,
I don't
know
why
I'm this one. I'm not saying this is a big girl, but the train kissed her.
Her real name is not Rebel Wilson. Her real name is, I don't know why this made
why?
Me laugh.
I bet this is funny.
Melanie Elizabeth Bounds.
As in, Mike, her love knows no.
But she lied about her birthday, too. It's March 2nd, not February 3rd. So this non-controversy.
Do you think people are being dicks because she's just like a bigger actress?
No, they're being. The only thing
she
in there.
She lied about simple stuff.
Yeah, but women lie about their age all the time.
Yeah, but you don't. Right. Yeah, I don't know. You don't do it when you're 29 or 35.
I'm sure they do.
I don't know.
And if you're trying to get to Hollywood, by the way, that's all you do. You're trying to get.
Lie.
Well, in my eyes. She's got so much going against her already if you're looking at Hollywood. And trust me, you know I like my girls when they carry buckets, right?
But you're not fat shaming here.
But I have a soft spot in my heart for her because I found the original Pitch Perfect on the cable, right? It just came on.
It was on the cable.
And
right.
I said, this movie's actually pretty damn good. I'd never really heard about
it. She's very funny.
She's funny in that, and I can't wait to see Pitch Perfect 2 where it seems like she steals the show.
The reason she was able to lie about her age, Mike, is no one cards for eclairs.
What's making me laugh is that she lied, and I guess everybody does in Hollywood, but it doesn't matter, but it's just funny to see the real name.
You know what that is? That's classic Melanie. Yeah.
Melanie Bounds.
I hate that. Like this woman has so much going against her already, and now they're just piling on. Right?
It sucks.
It's a big pile.
She probably lies about her calorie count as well.
A new study of 47 different countries found that even though women sleep longer than men have almost always wake up happier.
I'm totally in agreement with this the survey. Yeah. In 44 out of 47 countries, the average man wakes up in a better mood than the average woman. The only three countries where women wake up happier or at least happy are Colombia, Portugal, and the Ukraine. It's an interesting story.
I can give you a typical dialogue in our morning. It was, you know, good morning, Carrie. God damn it.
Yeah.
That's essentially how it goes.
Here in America, men sleep an average of 6 hours and 54 minutes a night, and women sleep 7 hours and 11 minutes, but men wake up in a better mood. I think that's been forever, probably, right?
It might be have to do with genetic coding, because we've got to go out and be charming. And they have to stay home.
How dare you?
Jesus. He's fat shaming and being a chauvinist in one
show. A little sleepy.
It's hard to use your phone while you're eating something greasy. God forbid we go 5 minutes without eating something greasy or texting. Luckily, they're in the news again, ladies and gentlemen. I give you KFC.
Man, they are red hot.
They have created a new tray with a built-in keyboard. It's Bluetooth enabled, connects to your phone, and you can type on it and text without having to mess up your screen.
That is brilliant.
Brilliant. It's actually pretty brilliant. The bad news is, for now, they are only in Germany. This is a stupid news you may not need that's making me laugh today.
Why is all of a sudden your phone not so greasy?
Why is that he makes a keyboard out of the paper and I'm disposable?
They've been a huge hit over there, so we could see them make their way to the U.S. Soon. We'll have to wait and see. Got to get by these two real quick.
Okay.
A guy named Steve Volzagon was on his way to a mall with his girlfriend outside Raleigh, North Carolina on Sunday, and he saw two cars that had just gotten into a head-on collision. Steve looks to be in his mid-20s. Luckily, he is a captain in the Army, so his training kicked in. First, he pulled a 59-year-old guy out of one of the cars while it was on fire. Then he used a fire extinguisher to smash out two windows in the other car. He pulled a 67-year-old passenger out and got himself to safety, got the 67-year-old to safety. Then he went back and he got the guy's 63-year-old wife out too. This is one guy, three saved lives.
Attaboy.
A few cops and firefighters helped as it went on, but Steve was the one who took the charge, and it wasn't until afterward that someone noticed he happened to be wearing his Captain America t-shirt that day.
That's awesome. Nice. Boy, that's great.
And I guess in the comics, Captain's name is Steve, too. Captain America's name is Steve.
Steve America is his name.
Steve Bridges. Steve Bridges is his name. That's the way it goes.
We're going to have to rescue them.
And now a little something-something. A 22-year-old lady in Florida, of course, had an appointment at the groomer for her dog last month, but her significant other wanted to reschedule it, and she responded by attacking him. She scratched his face, then started tearing down their curtains. The cops came, and she told them she was furious at her man for trying to change their dog's, quote, haircut appointment. She was arrested for battery. There's no word on the kind of dog or if it wound up getting its hair done. Well, it was a dog. It was a pug. It did end up getting its hair cut, and she hurt me real bad.
Oh, my. Oh. Yes,
Charlie, don't beat me. Don't scratch my face again because of Beluga.
Sad,
we'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. This woman is my
destiny. Hello, listeners. This is Rob Spiewak broadcasting from Washington, D.C.
And this is Katie Powers broadcasting from Savannah, Georgia. Wait a minute. This is Katie Forbes, Von Herman, Forbes, broadcasting from Savannah, Georgia.
Yes, Katie has moved out of town, but one thing hasn't changed. She's still drinking. Please listen to Cake and Cookies, brand new episode every week right here on the More Network.
Cake and Cookies, Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cameron Hughes. We love Cameron Hughes. They find premium vineyards that have a little extra of their best wine. CH Wine buys those bottles, then sells direct to their customers. We've been a Cameron Hughes household here for a year now. It's fantastic. We love it. Cameron Hughes allows you to drink the exact same wine that you'd find at expensive high-end wineries, but you're paying a lot less. The proof is in the bottle. CH Wine is perfect for Memorial Day, summer BBQs. Save some for Dad now.
Hey, now.
Hey, and Father's Day's coming up. How about giving Daddy a big bottle of Pinot Noir?
Hey,
how about
Dads and grads, Mike.
Dads and grads. Well, not if they're under 21.
Right? No, college grads.
Yeah,
thank
college
you. I recently drank a lot of 425. an amazing 2012 Pinot from a Central Coast vineyard that produces extraordinary premium wine. I loved it. Everyone loved it. It sold out. Except for a small reserve just for our listeners, use the code TMOS and you get exclusive access to lot 425 this week only. Get this extraordinary Pinot for 20% off. You heard right, 20% off. Here's the only way to get this reserve sold out Pinot at 20% off with free shipping. Go to chwine.com, click on the microphone in the upper left and enter TMOS. That's chwine.com, click the mic and enter TMOS. You need to try this wine. Quantities are limited and the offer ends this Friday at CHWine. Let's open up the Audio Vault for today. This is Thursday, May 21, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
There's few things that are funnier than a great callback or a joke that has an amazingly long setup. Letterman started on CBS 22 years ago, and this was his opening joke last night.
I want to tell you one thing. I'll be honest with you. It's beginning to look like I'm not going to get the Tonight Show.
I don't think
So, as you know, last night was, pardon me, up a little late myself.
Are you okay there, pal? Is the pneumonia all got out of there?
Oh, the pneumonia's gone, Mike. Now it's
Rob, damn it. I do.
What's that?
Give me a second at the end of your audio vault. I want to just do something for a listener, if you don't mind.
You know, you want to take it now? It's fine.
Whichever's easiest for
you. Go do it now.
Just an obit that a listener who's an officer, somebody that's on the job, wanted me to share of an officer. This touched him. A police officer shot while helping serve an arrest warrant in Oklahoma. Her name is Officer Carrie Orozco. She died at Creighton University Medical Center shortly after the shooting. The gunfire erupted while officers were trying to serve a felony arrest warrant on Wheeler. His name is Marcus Wheeler. He had a felony for another gun incident. Paramedics performed CPR and she didn't make it. Officer Carrie Orozco has been with the Omaha Police Department for 7 years and 5 months. She was a bilingual Spanish interpreter and began working in the gang unit on March of 2012. Sadly, ended her career in the same unit. She is survived by her husband, Hector Orozco, and two stepchildren, Natalie and Santiago. Officer Orozco had given birth to Olivia Ruth on February 17th, a preemie, 2015. Olivia Ruth was delivered early and was expected to come home from the hospital tomorrow, the same day that Officer Orozco was going to begin her maternity leave.
Oh,
so safe home. The officer wanted me to share that with you.
Amen.
She was not only a top-notch police officer, but she gave back to the community in so very many ways. So we just wanted to do that because someone asked me to. So I wanted to do that.
Yeah, you bet. And applaud her bravery when you look at the people in blue that do stuff that I could never bring myself to do.
And
so thank you.
I'm withholding the listener's name. I didn't know if you wanted that on or not. So sorry about that, but thanks for giving me the heads up.
All right. Two salutes.
Now be funny, Rob.
Okay, I'll do my very best, Mike.
Okay.
The two salutes from different camps last night. Conan's guest last night, a friend of the show, Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
And he actually counted down to 11:35. This is a very odd but very real moment in late night television.
How close are we now?
About 45 seconds.
45 seconds?
This is death.
I don't know.
Patton's. Can we cut that out? Let's not have that in the segment.
Which part? This is death.
Oh, this is death.
People watching TV love to hear a guy look into the camera say, this is death. That kills in the Midwest. What are you talking about?
I couldn't resist. No, you told people to switch the channel.
I know. I've never done that. I haven't done that in all my years on the air. But tonight, you know, this is a worthwhile thing to do. What time? Are we getting there?
It's time.
Okay, it's now 11:35.
Oh.
Record us, but switch to Dave. Bye.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. They're gone now.
They're gone now.
Now beautiful. We can do whatever the we want.
That's a 10, Conan. That's
great,
a
great
10,
moment. And then this is what Jimmy Fallon did.
I'm your host, Jimmy Fallon, and I want to thank you for watching this on your DVR after you watch Letterman.
Very Fallon.
Very cool.
And I'll send this down the line. Not
brief.
Unlike Letterman's show last night. We're going to run a little over today because I got things I got to play. Just a couple minutes. I'll take care of it in the post-production. You mentioned the top 10 list. I saw it all over Facebook immediately. Best top 10 list ever. And I'm inclined to agree. I'm going to run it in its entirety.
Yeah, if you miss this, it'll be a chance. Even if you saw it, I'm looking forward to hearing it again.
The last top 10 list ever.
It's our last list. And the category, top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave.
Ah.
Number 10, Alec Baldwin.
Of all the talk shows, yours is most geographically convenient to my home.
Thank you, Alec. Number 9, Barbara Walters.
Dave, did you know that you wear the same cologne as Muammar Gaddafi?
Yes. Yes, Barbara. I do know that. Number 8, Steve Martin. Your Great. Extensive plastic surgery was a necessity and a mistake. Number 7, Jerry Seinfeld.
Dave, I have no idea what I'll do when you go off the air. You know, I just thought of something. I'll be fine.
Thank you, Jerry. Number 6, Jim Carrey.
Honestly, Dave, I've always found you to be a bit of an overactor.
Crosses his eyes.
Yeah.
Number 5, Chris Rock.
I'm just glad your show is being given to another white guy.
You know, I had nothing to do with that. Number 4, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, ladies.
For letting me take part in another hugely disappointing series finale.
I had nothing to do with that either. Number 3, Peyton Manning.
Dave, you are to comedy what I am to comedy.
Number 2, Tina Fey.
Thanks for finally proving men can be funny.
I like that. Things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number 1, Bill Murray, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave, I'll never have the money I owe you.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Absolutely beautiful. The whole show is like that.
And as we were talking
joy.
About how classy the show was, I really liked this. And we didn't mention it earlier, that early in the show, Dave said this.
Folks, before we let this thing get too far down the road, I just want to say a couple of things about Stephen Colbert. I'm very excited. I think he's going to do a wonderful job. And I wish Stephen and his staff and crew nothing but the greatest success. So let's look forward to that.
That's just nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's the way you want to be able to do it, if you can.
Okay, now we'll step away from Letterman for a moment. Mike, I need your help because you are a student of dialect. You are a student of accent. And there is a cooking series on YouTube. I can't tell if it's Cooking with Doug or Cooking with Dog, but it's an Asian cooking series.
Oh, and I couldn't get out of here without him doing one of
these. And it's they're making rice burgers. And
attention, horny Bob Spiewak. Please pay attention.
Tell.
You're going to laugh at your son now.
If this is heavily accented English with an Asian bent or a Swedish bent or something I don't even understand yet. So please help me analyze Cooking with Doug.
Hi, I'm Francis, the host of this show, Cooking with Doug. First, let's make the rice buns. Sprinkle the potato starch on the hot steamed
rice.
Stop
it right there.
Yep.
Hold it. I'm going to have you start it from the beginning.
Oh, you want to start
Yeah,
it again?
You couldn't tell if it was an Asian accent or a Swedish accent.
I can't
you
tell exactly what's going on.
Liar.
But there is,
you
there
bald,
is,
you Mike,
there is a taste of Sweden in there. There is the like, good flavor of Copenhagen.
There's no Sweden in there. There's no Sweden.
I don't know,
That's
Pony,
Chinatown.
Pony, come to my defense.
I thought it sounded Japanese, French, and Swedish kind of all at the same time.
Stay okay, with it. This is it. Either right. Cooking with Doug or Dog.
Hi, I'm Francis, the host of this show, Cooking with Dog. First, let's make the rice buns. Sprinkle the potato starch on the hot steamed rice. Mix two cold grains, but try to avoid crushing them. The starch will help the rice to firmly attach together. This rice burger maker can make a pair of buns.
That's right.
Place a quarter of the rice into each mold. Cover and press the lid to shape the rice buns.
Rice buns are delicious.
Rice buns, yum, yum.
Now, your girls are above the age of 16 now. Do they have sweet 16
soon
parties?
Yeah, they're soon to be 20 and soon to be 18, as a matter of
fact.
Did
they have sweet 16 parties?
Not traditional.
Do you think
sweet
Mike remembers?
16?
Yeah.
Thanks, Oscar.
Lost weekend.
Yeah.
Well, Julia's sweet 16.
Not when I was in the house.
Julia's Sweet 16 will be a year from December. So, you know, I've got it on my mind. I hope it goes better than the one that went down in Levittown, Pennsylvania for Jacinda Cambray. Mike, did you know it's illegal for a plane to dump its feces from the tank, from the sky? They're not allowed to do that. They have
Just
to do
like
it
a regular commercial airliner?
They don't know. There were five planes in the air at the time, and they're trying to figure out who it is that ruined this Sweet 16 party.
Happy birthday to you.
Right here. This was the spot. And out of nowhere from the sky comes a bunch of feces. Lands on here very hard. Landed on the baby seat that was here.
Just got done with cake, thank God. We took the cake back in because within 2 minutes, something fell from the sky. It was brown. It was everywhere. It got on everything.
I grabbed the hose, immediately start lining things up, and I took the canopy, put it in the lawn to start washing off.
It was gross.
I was eating cake, and then I just heard a big splat.
It looked like if 100 birds flew over and went to the bathroom all simultaneously, that's what it looked like.
Definitely not legal.
And everybody was not very happy.
Happy birthday, dear.
Where was the party, in Philadelphia or Baltimore?
Levittown, Pennsylvania, which I think
Levittown, Pennsylvania. I know my dialect.
That's a burb of Philadelphia, right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Yeah, so they came out of sky. It's incredible, all that thing.
Thousand birds.
Down. You know, all of a sudden, it's just a whole sea of brown. Glad we get the cake inside.
Just like a thousand birds.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? I just have to say thank you to Dave. I don't know what it's going to be like not having him there anymore.
The only thing I have left to do for the last time on a television program, thank you and good night.
Good night, David Letterman, and thank you. That's your Magic Classic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it, everybody. We got to get out of here. And thank you very much, Rob. And that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And what the hell are we going to talk about next time? Anyway, I don't have to worry about it tomorrow. Robin and Oscar are going to be doing the Robin Oscar show.
And
that's
Pony,
it.
Pony has prepared a song.
Oh really? Yes. Okay, yes. Exploit Pony. As a matter of fact, my advice to you, exploit everybody. But I will also be speaking to you guys from the road.
Yes.
Which should be a lot of
fun. Yeah, we've booked another phoner. What a week for interviews.
Another Mike O'Mara show is come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's from MikeOMaraShow.com. And we rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. I want everybody to have a fabulous Memorial Day weekend. The guys will be back with you tomorrow. I'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully from the great city of Washington, D.C., with all the boys in studio.
And we'll see you Sunday at Jimmy's.
Yes, good stuff. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.